Welcome back, AM 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here until 9 a.m. Welcome to the mail-it-in hour. I'm kidding. We got the first results of the recall vote in Council District 3 for Councilperson Sawant. As of 11 p.m. last night, the first count, it's 53% boot on the butt. And 46.9, no, keep her because I can't do math and socialism is awesome. And she's a really effective city council person. So the latest results are going to be released at 4. So there's that. So what you had last night at 11 p.m. is what you got. But so 73% of the ballots mailed out are back. Very, very high turnout. So, I mean, you can parse that any way you want. I interpret that to mean, having a recall or two under my belt, that people that are exorcised about her caterwauling versus being an effective councilperson want her out and want, and you know, her replacement would be appointed, would be voted on by the Seattle City Council. And so things are so bad that you're saying it can't be worse than her. And you checked yes, and you mailed that back. Well, but keep in mind, we're in the era of ballot harvesting, and the probably the most vulnerable towards ballot harvesting are elderly people that are not quite sure how this kind of thing goes. And then a young, fresh-faced person knocks on the door and says, "Hi, I'm from Madison Park, Concerned Citizens for Good Government. Have you mailed back your recall ballot? Have you even filled it out?" and I mean, I'm this is almost like a script. All up and down the West Coast, for some reason, ballot harvesting is huge on the West Coast. And the perhaps confused elderly person says, "No, is it this here? Yes, why don't you open that up? I'll take it in for you. It's legal for me. Once you sign it, if you sign it, I'll take it in for you. But you need to just here quickly mark out no." I'm again. This is happening. It's in the playbook of the kind of people that don't want to recall this particular council person. And this is so far everything I'm describing to you is absolutely legal. You can tell somebody to mark anything they want. You just can't mark it yourself. And they can say, consume a satchel of Richards. No, and slam the door in your face. But you can say, "I wish you'd vote no. You see, I find her a refreshing change with from all those various elected officials who can actually do math." Then if it's a, you know, or here's the other one. "Well, I'm going up there now. I'm just canvassing the neighborhood to make sure that people in my committee, concerned committee for Central District, people for good governance, that everyone is just simply getting out the vote. Could we have to have the people's voice?" Oh, what a giveaway. And by the way, how did you vote? Do you like her? "No, I think she's a screechy cow." Okay, well, I'll take your vote to the box. I'm headed up the hill now. And then it gets thrown in the garbage or put in a satchel and, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm describing to you what is legal. And I mean, there obviously this is an abuse of the system. But the illegal part is the throwing it in the garbage. Now, I don't know what the number is, but from the jurisdiction I'm leaving, from the electoral district I'm leaving, one person could deliver up to 100 ballots. You know, the entire intent of that law is simply, well, my neighbor is old and infirm, and he said, "I can't make it to drop this thing off. Could you do it for me?" And I said, you know, "Sure, Mr. Biden." And I went and dropped it in the box. That's the intent of it. The intent is not for a absolute stranger to come along, knock on your door with a polo shirt that says "Concerned Citizens Who Can't Do Math to Keep Sawant" or whatever. But that's what's going on. So I'm not setting up the pool table for a trick shot if she squeaks by and doesn't get recalled. I'm just saying recall or not, right or not, and I don't care if it throws an election my way, I don't like ballot harvesting. It's voting is a near sacred act in a democracy. And I was somewhere once where people literally risked their lives to go and mark a ballot and then dip their finger in ink to prove that they had already voted. And there was zero accusations of fraud in that place where I was. Ironically, at the same time in this county, my ballot was mailed back from the far-flung place I was, and it was not counted. The primary was counted, but Mr. Logan seems to have lost my ballot for that particular general election, blah, 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 Governor Gregoire. So anyway, as you can tell, I don't hold a grudge. All right. Huawei, maybe you've heard of them. They're evil. There is no such thing as a private sector in China. The Chinese Communist Party owns a piece of absolutely every company above a corner store. That's just that. It is their revenue stream. And then you going to Mart is their revenue stream as well. They should name it the Communist Party ship U.S. consumer, their fourth carrier, whenever they get around to that one. So anyway, you recall the issue up in Vancouver the last couple of years, is that you had the daughter of the founder of Huawei. When she's in Vancouver, she went by Betty Meng. That's very, very common for mainland Chinese or even Taiwanese when they come to the United States to adopt a more Western name. Very, very common. But she was going around a whole bunch of sanctions that the United States had on Iran. And so the United States had a arrest warrant for her. She was at the airport in Vancouver heading home to China for whatever. The Canadians, as per treaty, grabbed her and said, we have a extradition warrant for ye to the United States. And, okay, she didn't go behind bars or anything. It wasn't like Christian Bale in the second Batman, whatever, the one where he's in the Chinese prison eating gruel and fighting and all. It wasn't, no. She had an ankle bracelet. There was no restrictions. Besides leaving Canada, there was no restrictions on her movement around Vancouver. And she was photographed all the time, going to fancy restaurants, the whole thing. That's Huawei, right? Oh, by the way, how did they spring her? If you haven't caught this act, well, the Chinese happened to catch two Canadians. I want to say there were they called them the two Williams or something like that. The Chinese grabbed two separate Canadians and accused them of espionage. And oddly enough, convicted them. Like, one of them got 20 years. The other one, you know, they knocked it down to 9 or whatever. And it was obviously leverage. And then, the dimwit Prime Minister of Canada called the United States and said, I'm looking really stupid here. A lot of Canadians are saying, how come we're enforcing an American extradition treaty? And we do it because we do it. It's the right thing. And the Chinese didn't understand this. They were taking it out on Canada. So what happened was, just without a doubt, 4 months ago, a quid pro quo. I mean, literally on the same day that Betty Meng got on an Air China plane in Vancouver and headed out over the Pacific, these two guys in China were suddenly paroled because of good behavior and their red hair or whatever. And they're on a plane back to Canada. And that is how Huawei does business. They want to be the 5G in North America, in Europe, the whole thing. The Europeans are finally catching up to this, and they're realizing, well, you know, we could use Ericsson, we could use Nokia, we could use Siemens, you know, anything but Huawei. We've already done that. We're not going to let the Chinese do our 5G. We're not. Okay. So imagine my shock, 10 minutes ago? When Huawei USA releases Neil Bush shilling for communism and communist China. I'll play it for you when we come back. I mean, they don't have a hope. My thoughts in a minute. but I'll play it for you in a second. Back in a second. Brian sits in here all week, 770 KTTH. Let's get you to work with the right-way traffic. Neil Bush, by the way, 770 KTTH, Brian Suits back here. Neil Bush is number four. He's four of six of the George H.W. Bush offspring. He's the one who was never president, and he better not be now. So anyway, he is the founder and chair of the George H.W. Bush Foundation for U.S.-China Relations. Never heard of it. And it might be just him. I don't know. I have a really weird feeling that Huawei endowed the George H.W. Bush Foundation for U.S.-China Relations with a lot of money. And anyway, for the record, I know the background. I know that George H.W. was the director of the CIA. He was also ambassador to China. He knew their shtick up to a certain point. So anyway, Huawei is now trying to resuscitate their reputation, and they're doing it with Neil Bush, apparently.
I am Neil Bush, founder and chairman of the George H.W. Bush Foundation for U.S.-China Relations, and I am honored to be invited to speak at this, the Trust in Tech Summit. Thank you to all those who made this event possible. The message you will hear at this year's summit is that for the entire global community to innovate and prosper together, we must build out channels of trust and find areas of global collaboration. These are common goals we share, goals that reflect the lifelong vision that my father, President George H.W. Bush, had for the United States and China. He believed that not only was the U.S.-China relationship the most consequential bilateral relationship in the world, but also that a constructive relationship between our two countries serves the vital interests of the United States, China, and all nations.
Okay, I'm pretty sure your dad also believed that China shouldn't steal our stuff, our tech, our trademarks, our copyrights, our patents, etc. So anyway, listen to the I was gonna call it a certain hygienic act that one person might perform on another. I'll just say tongue bath. Listen to the tongue bath that the son of George H.W. Bush gives China.
It's impossible to imagine China becoming the second largest economy in the world by 2020. After the doors to China were open, after people were given the freedom to choose where to live and work, after economic incentives were put in place from 1 5-year plan to the next, China has risen, lifting hundreds of millions of people out of poverty. As a freedom-loving American, it has been remarkable to witness this transformation during my lifetime. And I'm proud of America's role in improving the quality of life for so many fellow citizens.
You know what? And that's like a shark saying, I'm proud of my role for feeding so many remora parasitic fish. So here, have more of my scraps, even though those are copyrighted. And that one, that squid over there is patented. But hey, you've eaten it.
Ironically, it is the very fact of China's rise that is causing consternation globally.
Consternation.
It is the very fact of China's rise that there are suspicions regarding China's objectives. Mm-hmm. American values make it imperative that we shout out concerns regarding human rights, that we hold others to high standards of conduct, including protection of intellectual property, that we make the case for transparency, for equal access to markets, and for leveling the global playing field. Many are embracing a dangerous zero-sum mentality that defies common sense. China's success does not take away from ours, and vice versa. It would be crazy to...
I don't know much Morse code, but his eyes are blinking, and it's B-U-L-L-S. I can't see what the next one is. Anyway, I'm shocked by this, that he would that George H.W. Bush's son, Neil, would equivocate or equate China's rise to a normal rise and not recognize the fact that it is all been a facade, and that the Chinese Communist Party, now at the 100th anniversary, is now confiscating everybody's money and calling it common prosperity, and that their rise was because of things like, and I mean, let's go back to the 80s. When Boeing said, we want to move some manufacturing to China, the Chinese said, yes, we delight in competition and free market capitalism. And it will, we will rise phoenix-like into a new era of prosperity. However, you must share some of your technologies with us. And Boeing found out that when you partner with a Chinese, when you get in bed with the devil plays the tune or some metaphor like that. And, you know, within a generation, the Chinese debuted their first airliner, the manufacturing technology, much of it proprietary, Boeing thought, but when they read page 17, sub A, sub 3, it turns out they were giving up so much to the Chinese just simply to work there. And meanwhile, rather than saying, tell you what, if you want to sell one Chinese product in America, how about no? How about we employ Chinese and we keep our copyrights, our patents, our proprietary manufacturing, you know, the whole thing. But we didn't do that. And never mind willful surrender of American intellectual property to China. Their active measures are shocking, stunning. And if you look at the Chinese stealth fighter, and granted, you know, form follows function. Most stealth fighters are going to kind of sort of maybe look alike. The problem is there's too many people from Northrop Grumman, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, et cetera, who say they have been internally eviscerated by the Chinese, remotely, by human beings, by planted devices that hoover up everything from Bluetooth to Wi-Fi. And the Chinese have been doing it practically in the open, all up and down the West Coast. I mean, literally, not kidding. From Everett to Duwamish to Palmdale, California, to Los Angeles, to Silicon Valley. And by the way, I don't blame them. Why wouldn't you? If we're not going to guard the castle gate, why not walk in? If you don't have to kick it down, why not walk in? So that's why you had Chinese medical researchers arrested who were working at UC Davis. Was there one for the UW? San Francisco State University. They had officers of the People's Liberation Army, Chinese military officers working in medical research in America, lying about their backgrounds on their way in. And on the way out, they were arrested because they were asked, are you a major in the PLA Air Force? Why, yes, I am. Oh, because we found a picture of you in uniform on the web. Well, here's your entry questionnaire. Says you're not in any way connected to the Chinese military. So that guy, five others, were rolled up almost 2 years ago. This one researcher from UC Davis, she ran to the Chinese consulate in San Francisco. They refused to let her in because they don't want to risk it being shut down. Remember when Obama shut down the Russian consulate in San Francisco? And the biggest story was that they were illegally burning. they had a fireplace fire during a fire season. That was a significant hit to the Russians when it comes to technology transfer or theft. The Chinese didn't want to risk the Chinese consulate in San Francisco getting shut down. So when this female officer knocks on the door and says, I'm supposed to go back to China, but the Americans are after me because I'm actually here on a spy mission, the consulate said, thank you for reaching the consulate. We're closed. Leave a message at the beep and the whole thing. They let her go. They said, no. And besides, it's not an embassy. You can't run into a consulate and say, Ali Ali Oxenfree. You can only do that at an embassy. So the Chinese said, yeah, this isn't an embassy. Get out of here. Go Niners. That's what they're doing. That's what Huawei's doing. And so, yeah, so, I mean, like I say, I'm not mad at them. They're just doing what you do. They're doing what spies do. Because Huawei is a branch of the Chinese Ministry for State Security. Of course they're going to plant all that crap into a Huawei hardware. Of course, sir. My problem is that Neil Bush, the son of HW, is shilling for the Chinese Communist Party as if they're just another brand of growth and capitalism like the rest of us. We just don't understand them because of their Mao jackets and their parades and their genocide. I mean, really? Back in a second. It is Brian Suits here all week, 770 KTTH. Let's get you to work with your right-way traffic. Welcome back, 770 KTTH. Brian Suits in here this week. And yes, let's go to the tote board. 4 p.m. If you're sitting back and you're wondering when the next bunch of results are going to be released for the Sawant recall, which deals with, you know, one district in one city that the majority of you don't live in. However, that's what a lightning rod she's been in. All morning long, I've been following this breaking news story from last night about how a toaster oven was apparently thrown off of the convention center overpass, like at Seneca, and it hit a car, unlike a sea turtle caught in seaweed. So here is a report from last night, because, I mean, there's I think that we've all become socialized to the fact that maybe it's just kind of normal to have this tribe of people who live around the periphery, who get to exercise all sorts of depredations or defecations or appliance throwing. Anyway, this is Channel 4, Como 4 from last night, an unnamed correspondent.
Imagine this, a toaster oven coming right at you. On average, that's about 25 pounds of appliance junk.
That's ridiculous.
But it happened.
This large thing, the best I could figure is it looks like a toaster oven, came out of nowhere.
This is Scott Newman, witness.
Scott Newman and his pregnant wife with three kids in tow saw it as they came around this bend on I-5 in Seattle on Sunday. They were heading home from church and watched in horror as a chunk of metal crash-landed on a car ahead of them.
Hit that car on top, broke into about two pieces and split off. You know, that person just kept going. I don't even think they realized what happened.
No one was hurt, but what's worse, the couple says it was no accident.
My wife said that she saw somebody who'd just thrown it off on the side.
In fact, we found this smashed toaster oven on the shoulder of the interstate, right where it happened.
Hey, free toaster oven.
Was there strudel in it already?
No, they took the Hot Pocket out.
Oh, come on. You can't hit someone in the windshield and not let them eat your Hot Pocket.
So there you are, and everybody knows that where I-5 pinches down to like half a lane in right downtown, it starts to expand out. You're going northbound. To your right, there is a weird shelf that's undercover. Prime hobo territory. That's my phrase, hobo territory. And so Scott's wife saw somebody throw the toaster oven.
The couple thinks that's it.
Well, and I was thinking, too, with the way, you know, how fast cars are traveling on the freeway, if it was just a few seconds after that, that would have been my car.
They called 911. Washington State Patrol confirms it responded to calls about debris being thrown onto the interstate. But a spokesman tells me when they arrived, the suspect was gone. It happened around 1:45 in the afternoon, northbound I-5, right between Seneca and Mercer Streets. And we checked out the area where Scott's wife saw the suspect. It looks as if someone may be camping illegally in that area.
I'm sorry, what? What was the verb?
Bound I-5, right between Seneca and Mercer Streets. And we checked out the area where Scott's wife saw the suspect. It looks as if someone may be camping illegally in that area.
I mean, really, if we can't be honest with what's going on, and this, you know, why don't you go have a talk with Eric Johnson? Because Seattle's not slowly dying because of rogue campers. You know, living is the term. Living. And then also, no wonder they threw the toaster oven. There's no 110. There's no 110 AC there.
Newman says as a delivery driver, he's always hyper aware behind the wheel and on the lookout.
Pew, pew.
But after rock throwing incidents on I-90 over the summer.
Well, anyway, you get the point. It's they're not discarding a junk toaster oven. You know, this is not Monroe. They're not just throwing their appliances on the side of the road. That used to be my number one annoyance about living there. It's like, that's not where that goes. They threw it out into traffic. And so, I mean, you know, I understand the Seattle solution to everything is either form walking buses so that people in security uniforms with full bottles of pepper spray can walk employees out of government buildings at 5 p.m., the whole thing, or to the response to a guy breaking 9 windows. Go to mynorthwest.com. You can read Jason Rance's article yesterday about that. So response to that is not finding the dude that did it. It's replacing that glass with bulletproof glass. And so whatever, if that's the solution, that get facial recognition technology. Hell, call Huawei on that one. I hear they do a bang up job on facial recognition on that one. But this was an attempted murder. I mean, there's no reasonable excuse for throwing a 25-pound object into an interstate highway. Am I missing it? Anyone? There have been, over the years, there have been streaks of people throwing, usually the darn kids throwing rocks off of overpasses. I think, wasn't there a fatal one, like in Woodinville years ago? And that is what that is. You know, you don't say, well, you know, it burnt my hot pocket. And so I threw it into I-5 at 5 p.m. And that's not camping, is not what that is. All right. If you go to Drudge right now, whether you are a conspiracy theorist or not, Pfizer, 3 shots necessary. It was broken today. You know, keep in mind that the Omicron variant is fairly new. And nevertheless, the leader of the pandemic panic porn, the Ron Jeremy of pandemic panic porn, Anthony Fauci, set a new personal record of declaring something possibly maybe not that severe. And wait, am I surprising you yet? Can you get that? Okay, so Fauci yesterday, the Omicron variant, already data coming out of South Africa is that it's kind of a bad cold, if that. And probably most people are like, yeah, I've had worse colds. That it's dead per 100,000 is not close to the prior variants, primarily the variant that was the peak of the deaths in the United States in January and February of this year. Even the Delta variant, which is transmissible, but it's also, it'll kill you if you're morbidly obese or type 2 diabetic and carrying 80 pounds more or whatever, but effectively not as lethal as earlier this year. The Omicron is not showing itself to be really that much more lethal either. Anyway, this is Dr. Anthony Fauci yesterday.
It's too early to be able to determine the precise severity of disease, but inklings that we are getting.
Inklings.
And we must remember these are still in the form of anecdotal, but hopefully in the next few weeks, we'll get a much clearer picture. But it appears that with the cases that are seen, we are not seeing a very severe profile of disease. In fact, it might be, and I underscore might, be less severe, as shown by the ratio of hospitalizations per number of new cases.
And
however, this could be influenced by the fact.
So there you go. After 24 seconds of disclaimer, he gets around, which, by the way, you know, for him is a new personal best. It took him months to acknowledge that many millions of Americans had the COVID and recovered from it and therefore probably had natural immunity that was as good or perhaps even better than a vaccine. Took him months to acknowledge that. The CDC still is not accounting for it. But in this case, the Omicron, you know, pretty darn new. And he's already saying, well, we may not be that lethal. But along comes BioNTech and Pfizer today around 4 a.m. Pacific time with a breathless announcement that may make them millions. I'll play that for you when we come back one last time. Brian Tooth here in the morning this week, 770 KTTH. Let's get you to work with our right-way traffic.
Well, we still have a collision cleared off.
KTTH, AM 770, Brian sits here this week, and this is the dumbest debate, and I hate it, and everyone does it every year, but Brady, Die Hard, Christmas movie or just action flick?
Action flick or Christmas movie, I mean.
Or you know what? I'll take both.
Polar Express.
So Die Hard is not.
Well, that is a Christmas movie. But you were saying it either is. Christmas or action. You didn't say it had to be one and the same.
That's true. It's a false choice. Anyway, I think the 30th anniversary of the massacre at the Nakatomi Plaza was a couple of years ago. Remember. Here's my thing with the Polar Express. The anime. Okay, Tom Hanks and the voicing. Okay, but the actual animation is really hard to get past.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the best animated movie ever, but as a kid growing up, if you're watching that, it is an adventure kind of thing where Christmas is a wonderful time, and it's great to be out there, and Christmas, of course, is a special day.
New movies to avoid. Have you seen A Boy Called Christmas promoted on Netflix?
I have not seen that promoted.
I don't know why. Oh, that's what it was. that's what it was. It was Thanksgiving, and we're on Whidbey Island, and daughter and the cousins, and unnamed grandma, my daughter's grandma, said, well, we're going to watch A Boy Named Christmas. And it's one of these things where, like, some European adults wrote a Christmas movie that's supposed to be precocious and appeal to kids. And I can confirm that three kids, 12 and younger, were pretty fast asleep in about half an hour. One of them was FaceTiming her friend on mute.
Or was she on Instagram?
No, definitely not on Instagram.
Not on Instagram.
Because Dad's on Instagram.
Ooh.
Anyway, avoid that movie. And by the way, it's in a singularly European fashion. A Boy Named Christmas absolutely makes it seem like Christmas is some, like, random event that happens just in December. There's no mention of the first half of the word, nothing like that. It's just pure. But then again, some of the things we grew up on, A Year Without a Santa Claus and all that didn't exactly mention it. But how about, have you seen promoted Power of the Dog?
Yes.
Okay. With what's his name?
Benedict Cumberbatch. That's I've right. seen the advertisements exactly. for, and I was really confused with
Doctor
the title.
Doctor Strange.
Yes, Doctor Strange.
Had a terrific. Have you ever seen the BBC Sherlock Holmes with him in it?
I have not, but one of my favorite movies with him is The Imitation Game.
It's amazingly inaccurate, but well acted.
Correct.
Astoundingly inaccurate depiction of decoding German codes in World War II and his role in the creation of the computer. However, Alan Turing was a genius and all that. Google him. Nasty ending. That being said, Power of the Dog spews. All I was hearing was, it's his best work ever. And I mean, this is a guy with a lot of good work, and mainly because he has that great voice. But his BBC Sherlock Holmes knocks it out of the park, which is a baseball metaphor for a British series. Terrific. Really good. Each episode is like an hour and a half, and they only do four per season and all that. Okay, so I'm an early adopter on that guy. Also, Doctor Strange, I thought was, I'm not into the Marvel stuff, but at least he was interesting. So, Power of the Dog, if you're not onto it within half an hour about what's going to happen, how it's going to end, and how drearily predictable it is, then you're not into movies or something. And also, by the way, I mean, note to filmmakers, I get it. River Runs Through It. No, not River Runs Through It. What's the Brad Pitt dies fighting a bear at the very end movie? Okay, Alberta can sit in for Montana. In fact, Alberta, Canada, looks more like Montana than Montana does right now. Even Yellowstone, much of it is filmed mainly in Wyoming and all that. But you know what cannot stand in for Montana? New Zealand. And when people say, oh, spectacularly filmed, all I thought was, that's not Montana. And I you know, there's two Montanas. There's flat as a pancake Montana, and then there's beautiful mountainous Montana. They shot in what is it, New Zealand? Not even like the cool parts, not even like the, you know, Lord of the Rings parts of New Zealand. So it's supposed to be a co-star. It's not. Anyway, don't waste your time with that movie. Just don't. All right. Well, so if you're into conspiracy theories, boy, do I have one for you. Because Pfizer, BioNTech, and all that, guess what? They have done research, and they say that the Omicron variant, which threatens the entire world with kind of a minor cold, will not withstand the fury of their vaccines. The news was broken thusly this morning on Morning Brzezinski.
That catches on even to the biggest vaccine skeptics, and it really starts moving people. You know, our time in New York City, I've spent a good bit of time in New York City.
So, by the way, he's caterwauling and bloviating about you stupid vaccine skeptics. The thing is nearly a year old. What could go wrong, and who would be skeptical of it and the whole thing? And then this news breaks.
City over the past month, I have been out in a lot of restaurants. Mm-hmm. There, it's hard to get into the restaurants. You have to show them the vaccine card. But I have been in a lot of restaurants and looked around and said, man, this place, it's like 1999 here, and I would go home, you know, and say, well, should I take a, like, spick and span bath? Or I do nothing. I go to bed, and the vaccines are working. And if you were around everybody who's been vaccinated, man, they're working.
Well, and the producer gets in Mika's ear and says, shut your husband up because there's breaking news.
Got breaking news
and
on
even
that,
as you've been talking on this very topic, Joe, Pfizer and BioNTech just announced initial lab studies show a third dose, the booster of their COVID-19 vaccine, neutralizes the Omicron variant. That is incredible.
Yes.
News.
Wow.
That is great.
That
news.
Is amazing.
We
That's
heard
amazing.
Yet from Moderna on this question.
Amazingly,
but if you have the Pfizer BioNTech
incredible
vaccine.
Incredible news.
Initial lab
That's
studies show
amazing.
A third dose, the booster
incredibly
of the
amazing.
COVID-19 vaccine, neutralizes the Omicron variant. That is incredible.
Yes.
News.
Wow.
That is great.
That
news.
That is amazing.
We haven't heard.
Do you hear her? like she hit a trifecta. Yes. Like, man is on the moon. Okay, the news that a coronavirus vaccine is effective against coronavirus does not require, yes. Well, okay, but for conspiracy theorists, now do you understand why people are skeptical about the entire big thing? Because now it seems like BioNTech, Pfizer, and all that are going to start pushing networks, okay, we might pull our advertising if you guys don't panic people about the Omicron variant and all that. I don't believe there is such a thing. I'm in the business. I don't see it happening. Just that this gives mother's milk to those conspiracy theories. Absolutely. And also the silence on those of us with natural immunity. Same deal. All right. Big Thursday, super hyperlocal Thursday is what I'm declaring it. That's tomorrow. Local stories, plus Vladimir Putin invading Ukraine around 8 a.m. our time. I'm not predicting that, but more on that. We'll get more about what the Russians think happened yesterday, which is vastly different from what Biden thinks. But he believes that robots are stealing his luggage, so who knows? All right, Dan Bongino's up next. I'll be back tomorrow. Brian Simpson here for the rest of the week. AM 770 KTTH. Let's get you to work finally. About time with your right-way traffic.